to Luke 18. I don't know why I'm so sing-songy this morning. All right. Luke 18. Does everybody want to be all in for the Lord? Yeah, is that a desire of your heart to be completely all in every area of life, not just all in one or the other and holding some back for ourselves, you know, dividing up our lives and this is the Lord and this is mine, but completely all in, completely all in. We see that's the difference in the Bible. We see the great men and women of God versus all the others who we don't know their names. The ones that stand out are the ones who had sacrificed their all. You know, the word says they didn't count their lives even until the death. They were that all in. And I believe this body wants to be all in. But the Lord wants me to speak on this morning. Luke 18, verse 18. It says, a ruler questioned him, being Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Peter said, I love Peter. Behold, we have left our own homes and we followed you. He's getting onto it. He's like, wait a second. If you're saying this, we've done that. So what next for those who have? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much as this time and in the age to come eternal life. See, this rich young ruler, he was a great man. Honestly, he was probably better. He had probably been, if you just looked at deeds, better than all the disciples. In all honesty, he had kept every single commandment from his youth. And Jesus believed him. I believe him too. I think he had kept every single one. He was all in every area except one. He said, Jesus, you can have all of my life. I will not do any of this, but this is mine. I deserve to keep this part of me. I've given up everything else, but let me hold on to this. And because he held on to that, he wanted his riches more than he wanted God, more than he wanted God's will. He couldn't be fully in God's will. It was the button that the enemy was still able to press for the rest of his life. And because of that, he wasn't able to follow him. You know, Pastor points this out. Jesus said, come, follow me. Jesus only said that to his disciples. He only said that to his disciples. A lot of people believe if he would have listened, he could have been the disciple that replaced Judas once Judas betrayed Jesus. He could have been one of the 12. He could have been someone that we know their name and we look up to them. We look up to them. We follow in their path. But the reason that we don't even know what his name is because he held that back from the Lord. And see, the Lord, even in asking this, even in say, sell all your possessions, come follow me, even in asking him to give up everything that he had, he wasn't saying that just because, hey, I want to see him suffer. No, that's not the heart of the Father. See, until we give something to the Lord, he can't be a part of it. Until we give our lives to the Lord, he can't be a part of it. It's the same as salvation. He longs for us all to be saved, but he can't force force us to be saved. We have to give it to him. Well, it's the same as every part of our lives. You know, until I give him my heart, he can't be there. Until I give him my worship, he can't be there. Until I say, Lord, every word that I speak, I want it to be yours. He can't be in anything unless we give it to him. So Jesus was saying, give me your finances because I want to be in them. I want to be in them. He wanted him to give so that Jesus then had the authority to come in and bless him more abundantly than he had ever seen before. See, we think he was going to give of everything and become a poor man. And, you know, having lost everything, then he was going to follow Jesus, having nothing for the rest of his life, poor. And, well, at least I was obedient. Not at all. When Jesus asked us to give, he asked because he wants the authority to bless us. He's a good father. He's a good father. Any good father wants their children to be blessed, right? He wants them to be abundantly blessed. The only reason my dad asked me to do something, even if I don't want to do it, is so that I can be blessed. So that I can be obedient and be blessed. That's the only reason. The only reason Jesus was asking this rich young ruler to give all that he had financially was so that he could abide in his finances. He could move through them and bless him more than he could ever imagine. And see, this isn't just theory. I've done this. I can tell you it's the truth. Holy Spirit, as I was praying over the tithes and offerings message last night, he reminded me of a testimony. I started praising the Lord. I was in the bathroom getting ready for bed. I was like, oh, good. Glory to God. I don't think I had even recognized this yet, but he reminded me of it. And that is, at the beginning of this year, at Kickstart, there was a family who gave me a check. They just had it on their heart to bless. And man, I was believing for spontaneous seeds. And back then, I was making very little. So I was believing even more. And they gave me this check. It was the most money I'd ever been given in my entire life. The most. I mean, it was amazing. I sat there. I was like, whoa, glory to God. And part of me was like, well, I was kind of expecting this, but at the same time, I wasn't. Glory to God. So that was at Kickstart this year. And immediately, I asked the Lord, all right, Lord, thank you for the seed. What do you want me to do with it? What do you want it to go towards? Because I was not making much money, it could have gone towards a lot. Quite a lot. But before I started planning out where it was going, I asked the Lord, hey, where do you want this to go? Where do you want this to go? And he said very, very quickly, I want you to sow it all. And honestly, I can't tell you how excited I was in that moment. Because as a young child, I've heard the words, I've heard the preaching, I've heard the teaching, I've heard what the Lord says about finances, I've heard his heart to bless me in my finances, and I was so excited for the opportunity to sow this seed. So excited, because I know what happens after. I know what happens after. So I was so excited. Man, that night, I was just excited to see that number, like, just there on my Cash App. Like, this was sent to Boomerang. I was like, oh! I screenshotted it, because it made me so happy to see. I still have it. I can show you. But I was so excited. And I was like, all right, Lord, thank you for the harvest. Anytime he would remind me of it, thank you, Lord, for the harvest from that seed. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things. You know what he realized? What he realized? What he reminded me of and I realized last night? Not even a year later. This was at Kickstart in February of this year. Not even a year later, I am now making more than that amount every single month. More than that amount. Could I have imagined it? Absolutely not. But see, it works. It works. He was asking me to give that because he wanted to bless me. But he needed my obedience. He needed my heart in that area of my life. See, so many times people have given their whole lives to the Lord, everything, but finances, Lord, this is mine. This is my livelihood. This is how I eat. I mean, that's important. Lord, this is mine, though. You understand, the rest of my life is yours, but this I need to do. I need to handle. But the Lord's saying, give your all to me. Not because he needs it, not because of anything else, except that he wants your obedience. He wants your permission to come and manifest himself in your finances. So let's make the decision today, Lord, I'm not holding back anything else. And just pray this with me. Lord, you have my whole life. You have my finances. Whatever you ask me to give, I give in faith, knowing your word, knowing your promises, knowing the harvest that you have coming my way. In Jesus' name. Right now, thank you, Lord, for every single seed being sown today. Thank you, Lord, for every mustard seed of faith being put into this tithes and offerings today. Thank you, Lord. You see every single seed, big and small, the biggest seed that's ever been sown, and the woman's mite. You see them all, and your word is the same. Your word is the same. Your promises are the same. And we expect a great and mighty harvest because we know how good you are. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can bring your offerings up to the front.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the seed that's been supplied by you this morning. Father, as this ground has been plowed, this ground has been tilled with the word of God, watered with the gospel, Father, let a harvest be now in Jesus' name. Let it be supernaturally pressed down, shaken together, running over in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We glorify your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before we jump in, I just want to say welcome to Mr. Roderick Leach. And amen. We love you. Good to see you. The Lord's blessing him. He was telling me some testimonies the other day of that. I was like, just made me smile. So it's awesome. God's faithful, isn't he? Come up here, tell us something good. Amen. Give me a microphone. Hallelujah. I like your jacket. That looks good.
Yeah,
you look
sharp. I don't have a lot of winter clothes.
You don't have a lot of winter? Yeah, you've been not where it's cold, where it's not cold.
No,
so,
no,
yeah.
No, not at all. No, it's freezing, I was saying.
Amen.
Yeah, so the Lord is good and the Lord is faithful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, you know, he is building his church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And I see that's happening here at Boomerang Church. And
amen.
It's such a blessing to be here back in America temporarily before I go back to Africa. And, you know, the Lord is faithful. And I learned something that, you know, his covenant is not with our ministry, you know, with us personally. And what the Lord has been doing for myself personally, you know, me being back, I'm believing God for the ministry. Well, he said, listen, I have the ministry, you know, under control.
Yeah.
But he wants to bless you personally, you know. So it's time for us to end 2023, you know, asking God for big things, you know.
Yeah.
We serve a God that's a God of the impossible. He can do anything.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If he don't, he can create anything. So for you, you just have to open your eyes and see that we serve an awesome God. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God. And he wants you to prosper. And he that began a good work in you, he will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So just want to encourage you with that. I love you guys and everything that God is doing here. I can see the increase. I can see the joy. I can see the peace. I can feel the presence of God here. And this is just the beginning of what he wants to do in your life.
Amen.
And everything. And I just give all glory to him. And I just can't wait to see what God is going to do in 2024. It's going to be huge. He's already there.
Yeah.
He's already in 2025. You know, he's already ahead of everything. And he's just here to tell you that just be, you know, be faithful. You know, be faithful. Be faithful in everything he wants you to do. And once you be faithful, he already have things lined up for you.
Yeah.
the right connections, the divine connections and everything. So, yeah, thank you, Pastor, you know, for everything.
Man, love I love you. I love you, too. Yes, sir. Thank you. So I don't know if he knows it or not, but we have he's been ministering. He's been all around the country already ministering, speaking at churches, telling them what the Lord's doing across the ocean in his ministry. And so, but a couple of weeks ago, we had a message called Bless That Bless. And it was specifically that telling people and ministering to people and preaching and understanding that he wants to bless you personally. Like, and he's called you to be blessed personally all the time. So what you just said, if they were listening a couple of weeks ago, they just saw the Lord confirm it again. You're blessed. You're blessed because you are a blessing. You're blessed because you are a blessing. Amen. Anybody receive that? And God wants you to have that blessing because in that blessing, he moves in that abundance. So a couple of things. Number one, Brother Tracy sent me a word for Boomerang this morning. And you're going to get excited about it, but you're going to have to wait because I'm not sharing it with you this morning. I'll give it when it's time, and it's not time yet. But it was really good. I woke up and I saw it and I went, praise God, that's awesome. And so get your expectation up. I will tell you, I'll give you what you can read to prepare yourself for it. And I think it's Psalms 114. So let's see here. Yep. Psalms 114. You can just meditate on that, so you can make a note of that and go back to it. The other thing is, he mentioned something when we were in South Africa. I didn't know that the Lord had spoken this to him, but the Lord had spoken the exact same thing to me. And that was that in every service, to stop and just praise God for a little bit, for a few minutes. And he had actually said, he said, I was repenting to the Lord because I realized I had forgotten to do that. And I went, and when he said it, I was like, I too have forgotten to do that. And I know y'all never forgotten anything that the Lord's told you, but I'd forgotten that. But I just want to praise the Lord right now. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands. And Father, we just praise you. We worship you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, like we learned last week. Thank you, Lord, for the entrance into everything in your kingdom and everything in your name. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. Father, you're so awesome. You are so great. You are so worthy. You are so mighty. You are the majesty on high in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your help. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your greatness in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your plan coming to pass. Your plan is coming to pass now. Lord, we worship you and we thank you. We're not just on our own plan. We're not just on our own path. We're on your path. And your path is great. Your path is mighty. Your path is the way for us to follow. Your path has the blessing and the future attached to it. Your path. In Jesus' name, your path. Father, we thank you. Just thank him for it right now. Let that thanksgiving flow out of your spirit. In just your prayer language. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory, Father. You are great. You are mighty. You are the majesty on high. You are working all things. You are working all things. You are working all things. You are working, Lord, all things together for good. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He is working all things together for good. He is working all things. How many?
All.
That's who he is. He's working all things together for good. All things. All things. All things. All things together for good. All things together for good. He's working all things together for good in Jesus' name. He's working all things together for good. Thank you, Father. He's working all things together for good. He's working all things together for good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All things together for good. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. He's working all things together. He's got it all worked out, Roderick. He's got it all planned. He's got the path laid out. He's got the building prepared. He's got it all worked out. He's got it all put together. He's got the building prepared. He's got every step decided, every step planned. Oh, thank you, Lord. And it's great and it's mighty. It's great and it's mighty. It's great and it's mighty. Thank you, Father. He's got it all worked out. He's got it all worked out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. There's something that happens when you just start thanking Him. It's a key for you. It's a golden ticket. It opens up the gate. It's the gateway to the glory. I realized later this week that when I was preaching on Thanksgiving last week and the importance of it, if you didn't see that message on Thanksgiving, you need to go watch it. But I realized that I left out two verses that I really wanted to get to. And one of them was in 2 Chronicles, where they started thanking the Lord and praising Him. And they said, you know, good. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And they said, surely goodness and mercy, right? The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. And they started speaking that as a congregation. They started thanking Him. They started praising Him. All of a sudden, the glory of God filled the temple. And nobody could stand. The thanksgiving was the gateway to the glory. Thanksgiving was the gateway to the glory. Now, somebody watching on that doesn't understand spiritual things, they'd say, now, what is he doing? I told you, we're just spending a few minutes thanking the Lord at the beginning. But what's happening is as we started thanking the Lord, it opens and unlocks the gate to the glory. And the glory is everything that's in His kingdom, everything that's in His name, every word for a provision into the future, every word for a provision into the future, releasing the spiritual things of God into the body. You realize miracles are happening right now. Right now. Miracles are happening right now inside of you by the Spirit. Listen, the physical body, the physical world will catch up in a few minutes. The physical body will catch up to what's happening in the Spirit in just a little bit. In just a little bit. But it's happening now. It's in you. It's working. See, these are how spiritual things work. Because words in the kingdom of God and in the Spirit are not just audio. They are carriers of the glory of God. They are carriers of the power of God. The words are. Amen? So what's happening is the Lord is helping His people. He's building His people. He's helping and empowering and releasing and anointing into His people. He's releasing the power, the supernatural power and grace of God to help you in a time of need, to help you when you're doing great, to help you when you're not doing great. He's releasing a power to help you at all times. When? Right now. Right now. It's working in you now. If you'll have it, say, Lord, I receive everything You're doing for me. You're working all things together for good in me. And I thank You. A thank you is a proper response in faith to receive Your things. Thank you says, I receive it. When you speak the things of God, you're receiving it. You don't have to repeat it now, but when you
But you are being so obedient, so awesome. Amen. When you start speaking things, you start acting like your dad. You start acting like your father. When you start speaking things out, Lord, I'm the healed of the Lord. I can see clearly. I can hear clearly. I walk in divine health. You start speaking those things out. I have the favor of God. I'm productive. I have everything that I need. You start speaking those things out. It's a way of the kingdom. Faith without confession is a dead faith. Because he defines it in Mark 11. You have to speak to the mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea. In Romans chapter 10, it says, when you're born again, you speak, Jesus is my Lord. It's called the Great Confession. We have to speak what God says. We have to say what God says and not say what he doesn't say. We are to be held accountable for every idle word. In James 1, 26, it says, if you don't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. So everybody wants their religion to be worth something, but he's saying if you don't understand how your mouth plays a part in your religion's worthless. So you can say on Sunday, amen, hallelujah, Lord, I receive it, but all throughout the week say, God, it's so hard. And your religion was worthless on what you said on Sunday, canceled. You don't want to do that. You know you want to always be moving forward, not taking steps back. You can say things like, well, life's interesting. You take one step forward and two steps back. Well, you just created that. You did it out of your mouth. And that's not how we're to live. We're supposed to control that tongue. And it says, if you try to do it naturally, you can't do it, but by the Spirit. And we just read that in Luke chapter 18, where he said, look, men can't do this by themselves, but with God, all things are possible. He was saying, rich men are not going to get into heaven easy. And they're like, who can be saved? Nobody. He said, it's impossible with man. But with God, a rich man can go to heaven because he puts on godliness and God allows him to do that and shows him how to manage it properly. In James 3, it says, you confess. And he says, when you confess those things, he said, the tongue is unruly. No one can tame it. And the context is in the natural. But with God, the tongue becomes the rudder of the ship. You start setting your mouth on a course towards the destiny that God has for you, and the ship of your life will end up there. I'm blessed. I have all the customers I need. They like me. They want to have me as a vendor. I'm favored. God reminds them about me. Right? This is a confession of favor because God has favored you. He blesses my customers because they use me. You see? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're carrying a blessing. You're supposed to distribute it to the world. You got to get your mouth to line up with those things. And many people are sacking themselves. They're sabotaging themselves because they're speaking the wrong things. They're believing the wrong things. And they're not thankful for what they have. So we want to stop that. Don't just throw words out there because you feel them. Don't just throw words out there. No, if it didn't come out of the mouth of God, it shouldn't come out of our mouth. So this is not the message, but apparently we need to talk about this a little bit this morning. Stop saying, I'm tired. Do you want to be tired?
No.
Then stop saying, I'm tired. Stop saying, I gotta have my coffee. Because then if you don't have your coffee, you just created a world where you fall to pieces. Stop saying it. You're making coffee your source. Stop saying, I'm tired. You are not your body. You're not tired. Your spirit, you are the spirit. You're not tired. Your body might be tired, but you are not tired. Because you are the spirit being. That's who was renewed in Christ. That's the real man. Stop saying that. Stop saying, I'm hungry. You are not your body. See, we are so body conscious, we're so body conscious that we're not spirit conscious. And our mind is set on the wrong things, and we're creating a reality that God has not told us. You are not your body.
Right.
You are not your body.
Amen.
You are not your body.
Okay.
Say it with me. I am not my body.
I am not my body.
Don't you know the story of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus? And it says the rich man died. Where was his body? In the grave. But where was the rich man? In hell, in Hades. Where was the beggar Lazarus when he died? In Abraham's bosom. That's where he was, the real one. But where was his body? On the earth. The real him was not there. Stop saying, I can't do this. Your body might not be able to it, but your spirit can. This is a correction for me too. It's not just for you. Because I've been saying I'm hungry and I'm tired. And this correction for me, understand, not just you. This correction for me too. I've caught myself having fallen into that trap. Now, think about this. Think about it.
Yeah.
Is if you've fallen into that trap, those are idle words. And if I don't control those words, my religion is worthless. So I can be good all throughout the day and destroy it with one word. I can be so holy, so faithful, so thankful, and then be like, man, I don't know how we're going to do this. And I just destroyed all that in one statement. So if you've said some things, then cancel it. Repent of it. You can just, I'll lead. You can follow right now if you want to cancel some things. Anybody want some stuff not on your account anymore?
Yeah.
I just can't stop doing this. That's nonsense. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, the devil's been, you're blessed.
Yeah.
You're blessed.
I am blessed.
You're blessed. You're blessed.
Yes.
Who told you you weren't? Who told you you couldn't? So you can follow my lead. I'll go slow and you can make it your heart. Just, Lord,
I repent
for saying earthly things that were not from your heart
or your will.
I rebuke and renounce
every word
that was not of faith.
Every word
that was not of hope.
Every word
that was not of love.
Every word
that was not of you.
I renounce it.
I have no part with it.
And I repent to you.
And I move forward
speaking only
what comes out of your heart.
What comes out of that word
as a promise for me today.
I only speak those things.
My religion is not worthless
from this day forward,
but it is very valuable.
And I control my tongue.
And I change the things
that the world has taught me to say.
And I change them into
what you've taught me to say.
And I'm going to stop
sabotaging my life.
And I'm going to start blessing my life
with my words.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
I found that nobody will walk consistently in blessings if they don't get their mouth lined up with it.
Nobody will consistently walk in blessings if they don't get their mouth lined up with the blessings of God, with the promises of God.
Nobody will walk consistently in the blessings of God if they don't get their thoughts consistently lined up with God.
Right?
And then their actions will be a product of their mouth and their thoughts.
So you're not going to walk in the blessings if your actions are not consistently.
You're not consistent blessings. You may have one here or there by the mercy of God. But our job is not to live by mercy alone.
Right.
Our job as believers is not to live by mercy alone, but our job as believers is to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means every promise and everything that God wants us to have. Now see, now watch this. How many people feel corrected? Me too. How many people feel corrected? Now, see, the issue is the world's taught you to look at that as negative. The world's taught you to look at correction as negative. And the world has been like, look at you, you messed up. You messed up, you sorry Christian. You sorry believer, you messed up. That's condemnation. But that's not what the Word says. The Word says in Romans 8, He says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who walk by the Spirit and not after the flesh. There is now no condemnation in Christ. So we are not supposed to get corrected and then be like, Pastor corrected me today and all the rest of the day. We're not supposed to do that.
Amen.
Literally, correction should bring joy.
Yes.
And it says that literally in Hebrews 12:11. But all discipline for the moment seems to be sorrowful and even not joyful. But to those who give themselves to that correction, to that discipline, they will eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It seems to not be joyful, but it actually is a joyful thing. Now think about this. Think about this. All right, I want you to see something. Let's say that you did not know where a treasure was. You did not know where a treasure was. Let's say there was a box with $1 million in gold in it. And all of a sudden, I told you personally how to find that treasure box. Now, one, would I have your attention? Two, would you listen?
Yes.
You would? But now understand, when I told you the directions and the discipline to find that treasure box, I just corrected you from what you did not know.
Yep.
I just told you what you didn't know. But you'd be excited because of the value of the treasure.
Yeah.
The reason why people aren't happy when they get corrected is they don't understand the value of the correction.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't understand this.
Yeah.
This is a pastor message. That's exactly what I was thinking. This is a pastoral message right here. This is a shepherd picking up on the condition of the flock and helping it be better. But see, if I told you where a box was that had $1 million worth of gold in, you'd be all ears. Why? Because $1 million means more to you than the wisdom of God.
Yep.
Praise God.
Did you feel that cut? It's cut me before too. I remember it. See, when you get corrected, if you understand the value of correction, you'd be in joy because you just found a new place, a new treasure.
Yes.
And you don't realize, people don't realize what I just taught you about confession will get you a lot more than $1 million in the earth.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But see, we don't value it, so we don't count it the same. People don't walk in here like, I'm about to go get some $1 million advice today at church. Who thinks that way? Very few in reality. Very few. In Proverbs, a book of wisdom, it says that his wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and jewels. Is that not what it says? Find that verse for me real quick. I think it's Proverbs 4, Proverbs 7. It says it a couple of times like that. It says his wisdom, which is also his correction if you don't know what the wisdom is more valuable than gold or silver or jewels. More valuable. So there's no gold, all the gold on earth is not more valuable than his wisdom. all the gold on earth. And so when his correction comes, you realize, I just tapped into something more valuable than all the gold on the earth. Now, how many people in church been thinking like that? Not too many. You got it? What is it? Proverbs what? 3:13. Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is the person who finds wisdom, talking about God's wisdom, and one who obtains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her produce is better than gold. She is more precious, talking about God's wisdom and also his correction. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Nothing you desire compares with her. Nothing. Not a thing. And so when we get the wisdom of God, in other words, okay, now if I told you where there was a box with $1 million and I gave you directions, I corrected your thinking from where you were looking to a new place and I showed you the correction, would I be your friend? Would you be happy with me? That's where it is? Oh, Pastor, thank you so much. That's what I get every Sunday. I might have been joking. Huh? I might have been joking. Maybe. I get, you know, because people are saying, hey, oh, thank you, Pastor, for giving me that wisdom. Thank you for leading me in this place. Thank you, Pastor. And the reason is that they don't respond the right way is because they consider gold and money and things like that more valuable than the wisdom of God. They don't realize the reality of just how valuable God's wisdom actually is. Because if they did, they'd be happy. Because they realize, I just found the path to treasure. I just found, when you corrected me and showed me about how to confess properly, you just gave something to me that will change my whole life. Thank you, Lord, for giving that. And of course, it's the Lord feeding through. So thank you, Lord, for giving that. Thank you, Father. You just opened up a treasure trove to me. Glory to God. Is that how it genuinely came out of you in your mind? Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. You just showed me how I was wrong, and now I can be right. Woo! Can you see where we don't know the truth? If you've been doing something wrong for all your life and I just spent the time to show you what was tripping you up and what's been the hang up, shouldn't we get to the place that when God does that, we get super excited about, like, I am not going to waste my time anymore. Praise the Lord! But most of the time when the correction comes, most people are like, Pastor correcting me. Pastor. Come here, Hannah. Give me a microphone. Did you have your shoes off? Sweet. So she gave a testimony at lunch this week, and her testimony was, I got the most rebuked by Pastor, the hardest rebuke from Pastor Nicole I've ever gotten in my life this week. Is that what you said?
Yep.
I was rebuked the hardest by Pastor Nicole, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I know, I was there. I was listening too. I heard it. It was great. Is that how you felt at the moment?
No.
But then you had another testimony because the rest of your week from that moment had been what?
Peaceful. The most peaceful. So peaceful.
It was real, like she was beaming with
really?
The peace of God.
I still am.
Amen.
At this point, I'm like, correct me. I just text her. I was like, please, correct me right now.
Give me correction. Amen. That's it. Thank you. Now I see what the Lord's doing. Because I woke up this morning, and the Lord said this to me. He said, let the peace rule. Let the peace rule. Which is coming from Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let me show you this too. If you look at it at Colossians 3:15, it says this. Let it.
Yes.
Let it. It wants to rule.
Yes.
Let it.
Amen.
Let it. You don't have to let it. It's telling us a command. The wisdom of God that's more valuable than gold and silver and jewels is telling us. The wisdom of God's telling us, let peace rule. You don't have to, but it's a good idea to let peace rule. So how do you let peace rule? Well, I've already mentioned the verse that he's bringing up today, besides Colossians, is Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful and even sorrowful, but to those who give themselves to it and let correction hit its mark will eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Let peace rule by when correction comes, receive it with joy, knowing that you just received the value from heaven.
Yeah.
In other words, when you receive correction, you literally should look with eyes of expectation over that. Because your whole direction and what you have available to you just changed. Everything that you have available just changed. The value of what you have available just changed. It changed from earthly, because all you were receiving was the fruit of the fleshly production in your life. Now it changed heavenly, that it's more valuable than all the silver, all the gold, and all the jewels. You will not, nothing you desire, that verse says, nothing you desire will be more valuable than the wisdom of God. And so the fruit of a godly correction should lead you, if you let it, to the joy and peace in that joy.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'll point out a couple of scenarios. Last night, we were talking, Buddy and Serena and I were talking about an item, and they were figuring out, oh man, we did that wrong. I don't know that they said it just like that. That sounds pretty peaceful. But, oh man, we did that wrong. I also had a conversation with Marky last night. It's very similar to that. At the end of the conversation, at the end of correction, both of them were like, and the reason was both of them were looking at what they had done wrong in the past instead of what's about to go right in the future.
Amen.
And I talked to both of them about it in that way. And is that correct? And how many of us have done it? Well, pretty much the whole church just did it when I just corrected confession. Like pretty much all of us. But see, we got to change that. Let the peace rule.
Yeah.
Let the peace rule. Let the peace rule. In other words, you receive that correction with joy. You receive that discipline with joy. You don't take the seemingly non-joy of the thoughts of the world. You receive that correction with joy. Lord, you just showed me how to get to a treasure. You just showed me how to change things. Lord, I receive your correction with joy. I receive it with joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I receive your correction with joy. I receive it with joy. And I move into joy. Like, and we want to get to the place. And this is possible. This is possible. Like, I don't like to be corrected either. If one of my spiritual fathers calls me, hey, Pastor Brian, I need to tell you something. Like, oh, I don't want to hear this. And Like, they're about to correct me. Hey, you've been doing this wrong. You need to do this differently. But now when they tell me, I realize I just gained a value. I just gained a heavenly treasure of value that if I correct that, I'm going to eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Let the peace rule. Instead of letting the condemnation rule in that moment, let the peace rule, right? A few months ago, we were having the kingdom business and I corrected you. And afterwards, you came up and I corrected you. And you told me later that week, and you said, I had the worst week. I was irritated. I was mad because of that correction. You remember that? But we need to learn how to let the peace rule. See, this is a rampant thing that's costing. Yeah. It's costing us. It's costing his people because we're not letting the peace rule. We're letting the condemnation rule. We're letting the offense rule, stuff like that. But you came to me. You repented of that. You said, I'm sorry for thinking that way. I'm sorry. I recognize you were loving on me. You were showing me the love of God. That's awesome. That was such a good moment for you. Such a good moment. In other words, by turning to the ways of God, you let the peace rule, and what was not a good moment in the flesh, you let God turn it to a good moment in the spirit. Good job. Good job. Same thing. You know, even when I was talking last night, I said, y'all don't sound very joyful. And they both started laughing in joy. I was like, good. Even if you didn't feel it, it didn't seem like it, they put it on. They put on rejoicing. Rejoice always. They started rejoicing. Good job. Good job. But we've got to make it a habit. We have to make that a habit. We have to get better at these things because these are the ways the devil's stealing from you. These are the ways the devil is stealing from us. We should not let that happen. You know, does it burn you up when you find out that the devil's been stealing from you?
Yeah.
Oh, it burns me up. It should burn you up too. Oh, that slimy, sleazy, no good, low down, deceptive devil. I got to kind of stop there because every now, if I keep going on, I'll get in the soul and my brain will go back to like Marine Corps and then it won't be holy and we don't need to record it. But he's a jerk and he's evil and he's no good. He's no good. And we need to, when we find out he's been stealing from us, we need to not shoot the messenger that's bringing the wisdom of God.
Right. Glory.
We need to stop shooting the messenger and being mad with the messenger who just brought us the treasure trove of God's wisdom. Yes. And let the peace rule and get rid of the condemnation and the offense.
Yes.
Stop being that way.
Yeah.
Stop being that way.
Amen.
Stop being that way.
Hallelujah.
Stop being that way. That's all of us.
Yeah.
I don't even look bad. Earlier this week, I had something for Nicole. I said, listen, when this happened, I need to tell you something. She loves it when I open up conversation like that. It's her favorite thing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. I need to tell you something. Can you hear it in her voice? And I said, I need to tell you something. She went, ugh. And I went, no, stop doing that. Don't do that. I didn't realize he was preparing me for the message this week. Now, stop doing that. Yeah, thank you for the message. I appreciate it. You did it. I said, no. This is just something to tweak. And it'll make life better. It'll make life better. And so stop receiving it with condemnation. See, when you're constantly beating yourself up for missing it, you're in legalism and you're in condemnation. You're not walking in righteousness in that moment. And therefore, if you're not walking in righteousness, you don't have a right to what God has for you.
Right.
You actually close the door on the promises and your breakthrough because you're looking at how you missed it instead of looking at what God's leading you to gain from it through the correction. Through the correction. Not too long ago, I was sitting there, we were having lunch, and I told you something that you need to do. And you're sitting there, and you listened to me, and you took action on what I said. But you weren't sure at first that it was the Lord, right? And you're like, okay, talk to me about that. Show that to me. But then you went and did it. Let me tell you something. I don't think you realize what you opened up by being obedient at that moment. You received it. And you might not have been overjoyed with it. I don't know, Michael. Huh? You weren't? Yeah. But when you received it, you opened up a door to the blessing and the favor of God. And you might not have seen all that manifest yet, but I'm telling you, it's there. And if you keep that, let the peace rule. If you continue to let the peace rule, you're going to see something open up in front of you that does fulfill your dreams and destiny. And I'm telling you, it started with that obedience. It started there. It started there. I'm telling you. There's things that we need to get better at. Word tells us that when we receive from leaders, like, and as a part of our interaction with them, they said, let them lead you with joy, right? Let them lead you with joy, because it'll be profitable for you. It'll benefit you. So when you have a leader, be it me or anybody else that comes up, and there's a correction on that, there's a correction to how to do things, let it be easy for them to bring that. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. There's a reason why they're saying it. And you receive it with joy. Let peace rule. Receive it with joy. And receive it with expectation. Let the peace rule. Is this helping anybody? Let the peace rule. Can you see? Now think about this. This is so contrary to our society. And you can tell, because when I started correcting on the confession, you can tell, as soon as I start correcting on the confession, everybody's like, oh man. Like that. And this is a mature church. Yeah. One of the most mature I know. And a mature church instantly went away from peace and went away from joy and went into condemnation. Yeah. Instantly. This is so foreign to the earth and to the world. What I'm talking about is so foreign to the earth. We should be really good at it. Really good at it. Okay, yeah, I'll listen to this. Okay, all right. Well, listen, when Barrett first got here, I'm not just trying to tell stories on everybody. It's kind of working. You do have a lot of stories I could use, Barrett. And many on myself as well. A lot more on Nicole though. But and my mama-in-law's here. I'm not even going there. Love you. This is my Christmas present to you right now, because I'm not going places that I could go because I have a microphone and you don't. Come here. I love you. Now I want to go there. No, there's when Barrett first got here, she'd come in, and she's like many people when they're young in ministry, and I was the exact same way. I was the same way. Barrett was that way. Nicole was holy. Buddy says he was that way. Yeah, that was nice. See there? I know. Amen. And, you know, you think you got some stuff figured out. And then you come into a real ministry and you start doing real stuff for the Lord and you're like, did I know anything?
No.
And what you think you know, you don't. You think you had some stuff figured out. Spiritual teenagers. The biggest worldview you've ever had. You know more than you've ever known before. You think you got some stuff figured out. And then you go try to do it and it doesn't work. And then what does work, you find out later, was just the mercy of God, because you were still doing it wrong. Yeah. Right? And you praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you were merciful. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And the further you go, the more you find out about that. And so anyway, Barrett came in and she was kind of thinking that way, and you know, and I'd give her a correction, and this was Barrett. I'd give her a correction. She'd sit there. I'd see her. And I wouldn't even be harsh. Like, it would just be a correction. Like, hey, I think you need to do this. She'd go. Eyes would get real big, watery. And I'd say, okay. She'd go, okay. And then be like, to the door. Zoom, gone. In the car, out of the parking lot. If she knew how to control it, tires would squeal. But it wasn't possible in the car that she had. And I knew. I'm like, I gotta call her, make sure she's okay, help her, hold her hand. I call her, I'd be on the, she'd be, because I'm not the type of person that's going to let her take all that emotion negatively, push it down in there for 2 weeks, and then in 3 months from now, it's going to come up in offense. Like, let's just deal with it now. So I know she would hate this in the flesh, I know that, but she'd be on the way home, the phone ring, Pastor Brian, hey, how you doing? I'm all right. I'm good. No, I'm good. Like, yeah, you sound it. You sound great. How many times this happened? A whole lot. A whole lot. Yeah, it was a lot. I'm good. She just didn't like correction. She felt like when I corrected her, it devalued her. Did it devalue you?
No,
it actually increased your value.
Right.
It actually showed your value.
Yes.
Because he disciplines those that he loves.
Yes.
It actually shows your value.
Yeah.
It shows that you mean something to the Lord. It's not a devaluing, it is a valuing.
Yeah.
A raising the value of it. And then after a while, she figured out that when I corrected her, I didn't think less. If she was given to correction, that actually made me think higher of her, not lesser. Now, when she tried to hide stuff, like, no, Pastor, I'm not messing up at all, you know, and she didn't do that often. She was wanting to deal with that. But if somebody's like, no, I'm good, I'm holy, ooh, Jesus, hallelujah, you know, somebody acts holy, that is actually devaluing to their ability to be used by God.
Yes.
But if they're willing to take their mess, put it on the table and say, hey, here's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Here's where I've been, right? Maybe not prophesying I'm here now, but here's where I've been. Here's where I've been. That person can be used by God. Because that person is quick to repent, quick to receive forgiveness, and she would do that. And then after a few times of this, she started to realize, oh, Pastor doesn't think less of me because I had something to fix and change. He thinks more of me because I actually made the correction.
Yes.
And I received it. And then the better you receive the correction with peace and joy, that makes you even more productive in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And now she's actually gotten pretty good. Every now and then she would have a moment to go back to that. But now I can basically correct her. And she knows I'm not looking down on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, hey, we're all going up. We all have stuff to work on, including me.
Yeah.
I had several things. Just this week, the Lord said, you need to fix this, you need to fix this, you need to fix this. Now, granted, used to those things were big, ugly things. And nowadays, it's more like fine-tuning. But every now and then, I hit a gusher of gunk. And I got to fix it too. I'm just like you. The role might be different, but I got to handle things the same way you do. But I've learned, just deal with it. And don't take condemnation and offense, but actually see the value and the joy in that correction. The joy in that correction. You see, and I want to say this, I want to give this testimony, because as she learned that, now what? I want you to see something. I can walk up to her now and say, hey, I need this fixed. I need this to go different. This needs to be changed. This needs to be changed. And our flow and productivity as a team is so much higher, because used to it would take a week for us to work out those feelings.
Yeah.
It would take until she was back on her game and could talk to people without crying. And so it would be like, hey, I actually need your help. I need you to do something in the kingdom of God, but I can't tell you right now because you're not recovered yet because you think I was devaluing you instead of receiving the joy in that correction and the peace. Let the peace rule in that correction. You received a lack of value, condemnation, and maybe offense. The same testimony I have for Buddy. And Buddy first got here and he was growing in things and doing similar stuff, not quite the same as Barrett. But now it's like the other day I had something, I was like, hey, this needs to be changed on this. At the beginning of our relationship, he'd be like, oh man, I messed this up, taking condemnation for it, maybe be irritated with me because I'm asking him to do another step, things like that. But that was early on. Now I just say, hey, this needs fixed. He goes, okay. And we're like productive as a team. It's so much more efficient, so much more productive because it's proper. It's proper. And so when somebody asks you to do something in a team, don't look at it as something to slow you down or to give you more work. No, we're correcting and we're getting more efficient and more productive. You'll see this at your work. The better the team gets, the more they trust each other, the more they don't go to offense and a lack of joy, the more they do that, the stronger they'll be. The more they can be trusted. This is how God wants us to operate. He wants us to move in these areas. I want you to see this in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God, let it rule. Peace, you are on the throne of my life. Amen. Her body's hungry, Pastor Nicole said. Let the peace of God reign. And don't raise your hand on this. How many of us could actually say, peace has been on the throne of my life? So your thoughts have been peaceful, like calm seas. No waves at all. Your thought life, peaceful, joyous, picture worthy. That's been your thought life? Is this not a command from our Lord, from the Spirit of God? Let peace reign. You feel the slice of the word across the emotions of your thought life. But we should say, amen. Because what happens? If you let the peace of God rule and you get in joy over this and you let peace rule over this correction, what's happening to your life? Your life is going to be that tranquil place where you can operate in gentleness and strength. You're not tossed here and there. You realize what I'm giving you today is exactly what the Word says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, the ascension gifts, when He ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says, the ministry of these ascension gifts, he goes on to say, you will teach you, you won't be blown around by every doctrine or every wind of thinking, every wind of thought, every wind of thinking that the world gives, but you will actually not be tossed, but you'll be stable, you'll be steady. And that's what's happening today. See, most churches, if a pastor gets up and starts, I know this church is different. Y'all are used to stretching your flesh. But understand, you can get used to your flesh being stretched and your flesh being submitted, but you can still not receive it in joy. You know, a good marker of joy? I mean, he just preached on it. Let your face know. Right? Let your face know it.
Yeah.
Contact your face. You see, we should be in joy over these things. Let the peace rule. How many times have we let not peace rule? How many? Don't answer. It's just, I'm just, for an example, I'm asking the question. How many have we not let peace rule? We've thought about the storms. We've thought about the wind and the waves. And then we've let it upset us too. If you're married, just ask your spouse. Just ask your spouse how many times you've not let peace rule. I'm not asking you. If you want to know, just ask the people around you. Ask the people on your team. How many times have you not let peace rule? Let the peace rule. You know, in Mark chapter 4, he tells the storm, the wind and the waves, peace be still. And then he gets on to them for not having enough faith. What was he really getting on to them for? He was basically saying, you don't have enough peace in your life to release into this thing to handle it. No, you're so blown around by everything that crosses you, you don't have enough peace in your life to release into this thing. He had enough peace. The storm's raging. He's asleep. He's so at peace. He's so at peace. He just releases what's on the inside of him. Peace, be still. New American says, hush. He just releases who he is. All of a sudden, this demonic, great, the Bible says great storm, a great storm. This whole storm, it quiets so much so that two verses later, the disciples, even though they already been traveling with him, the disciples are like, what kind of man is this? Do you understand that he just showed us what kind of man or woman you are and can be? That you can carry so, amen. It's coming alive inside of them. Now see, now receive that with joy. Stop being angry because you're getting corrected and you did it wrong. And don't be mad at me.
Yes.
Don't be mad at me. I'm doing my job.
Amen.
I'll stand before him talking about this day and say, good job, Pastor Brian, for telling them what they needed to hear.
Yep.
Now the question is, will you stand in front of them and say, you received that with joy and peace. Good job. That's the question for you. Well, let your face know. I like that. I may use that a lot. Amen. Let your face know. It's good. I think that was of the Lord. He said, now watch this. Watch. He says in Philippians 4, this peace, if you'll receive it with peace, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds. You ever wanted to be protected against the enemy? Choose peace. Not chaos. Not frustration. Not worry. Not anxiety. Not fear. That it's not going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know my situation, Pastor. I don't have to know your situation. I know the situation fixer.
Yes.
I know the ways of the situation fixer.
Yes.
He says, let your gentle spirit be. Now, what is that? That's releasing the peace. It's releasing the peace. Galatians 5:22. You don't have to look there. I'm just going quickly here. Believe it or not. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now think about this. If you took a seed that could grow in this climate, in this soil, and in this atmosphere, and you just tossed it outside and put a little bit of dirt on it, you don't even have to touch the thing. As long as you don't mess with it, it's going to grow up. You take an apple seed, go up to the mountains, throw it in the ground. What's it going to happen? It's going to grow. What's going to come out on its branches? Fruit. Apples. As long as you don't mess with it, It's coming out. The fruit's going to be there. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. As long as you don't mess with it and don't get in the way of the Holy Ghost, peace will be there. It'll be there. You just don't stop it. Don't rip it up. Decide, this is right. I'm going to walk in this. I'm not. When I feel something contrary to this, I'm not going to block it, and I'm not going to go with the contrary nature of chaos. I'm going to stick with the fruit of the Spirit in peace. And then he says this. He said, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You ever felt passionate about raising Cain? Raising chaos? I'm not looking at some of y'all. You ever felt passionate? No, they're gonna hear about this. Now it says the believer crucifies those feelings because the believer is supposed to be carrying peace. As a fruit.
Amen.
Peace. But yet, how many times have we been like, I'm going to tell them what for. I'm going to let them know. There's going to be some wrath released in that place today. Well, go ahead, child of the devil. That's what you're acting out. Well, I'm going to call them up and give them a piece of my mind. That ain't the peace I'm talking about. Different kind of peace. Don't give them that peace. Give them the peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit peace. Because it says the believer crucifies the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you understand that having chaos, there'll be a passion behind that, but it's not the Holy Spirit's passion. It's the spirit of the world. The spirit of Antichrist. Anti-anointing is behind that. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Watch this. Brethren, this is Galatians 6. It's continuing on just in the next couple of verses. Galatians 6, verse 1 through 3. Brethren, even if anyone is called into trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. In a spirit of gentleness. This was the mistake I really made at the beginning of my pastoring. Because I'd be like harsh to correct. And I wasn't gentle to correct. I was harsh in it. I was doing it because I loved them, and I thought that was what love would do, is like hold them to this list, and I didn't realize I was not operating in the peace of God. I was actually fearful that they would miss it and get hurt, and so I didn't let peace rule. I let that fear for them rule, and it came across in a harsh correction. Whereas now, I just take my hands off of somebody, which is actually dangerous for that person if they're not submitted. But it is right in the Lord. I just, hey, they need to decide what they want to do. They need to choose. They want to leave the church? Leave.
Yeah.
I'll let them. And people don't realize how dangerous that is for the covering to let them go do something. But see, Jesus does that all the time. It's actually what love does, because love doesn't force things. Love doesn't force things. No, love releases them to their own peace, to choose peace. But you want to be gentle about the corrections. I've gotten more gentle. Would you say I've gotten more gentle over the years? That doesn't mean I won't be bold in what I say. I will call something out, but I'll be gentle about it. I'm not holding it against you. I'm not trying to be rough or anything like that. But there has to be a joy and a peace received from that person. And I need to be gentle about the correction. And I see this a lot of times in teams and different parts of the church is, man, somebody wants all the mercy from pastor in their correction. But if somebody on their team messes up, dear God, the fury and wrath of the world comes against them through that believer. That's wrong. He says, brethren, even if anyone is called in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore him. If they're messing up, if they're sinning, if they're missing it, restore them in such a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of peace. Hey, it's all right. You missed it. It'll be okay. Come on, let's go do this right. You see what I mean? Just stop doing that thing. And all of a sudden, you see, this is the heart of God. Now, ultimately, if that person's not listening, they're about to drive off a cliff and drive their life off a cliff, that can get a little bit more harsh just to save them from destruction. But as long as they're not at that place, then it should be gentle. And he says, watch this, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. In other words, don't just be looking at everybody else, look to you. Work on you first. Your first work is you. Your first ministry is yourself. And he says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now hear this, verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing. In other words, a lot of times we'll be harsh because we think we got it all together. I watch people and hear about stuff at life groups where you got somebody and they are correcting everybody. They're correcting everybody's confession. They're correcting everything. And their life is a mess. There's no peace in their life, but they know some things spiritually and they're correcting. That person thinks they're something when they're actually nothing. That's what that is. It's wrong. Whereas when you actually have somebody that has it together and they will keep their peace. They won't correct everything. They won't correct everything. They'll actually keep it to themselves. Look at this. This is the same verse in the New Living. If you think you're important, if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. If you think you're too important to help somebody, you are fooling yourself. You are not that important. I laughed when I read that. I was like, I receive it with peace, Lord. Thank you. Enjoy. Message. If you think you're too good for helping somebody, if you think you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. Badly deceived. Aren't we here to help one another? Isn't the greatest commandment, love your neighbor with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Colossians 3, where the 3:15, let the peace of God rule. If you've been raised up with Christ, verse 1, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now he just connected Christ's authority and everything that Christ has paid for. He says, stop looking for the defeat and the things with the lack of peace. Look to where peace is, because everything that he's got is yours. So stop looking at a place of lack and look at the place that you're actually connected to. Set your eyes on things above, not on things below. Set your eyes on him, where he's seated at the place of authority. It by his name. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You'll find that most of the stuff that you don't have peace on is because you're thinking on things of the earth. You're thinking on the flesh. You're identifying with the flesh man and not the spirit man. Well, I'm hungry. Well, I'm tired. What are you looking at? You're looking at the flesh man. You're looking at things on the earth. You're not looking on things above. You're looking at things on the earth. That's why you're frustrated all the time. Because you keep looking at, you're not looking at the place where you have everything in Christ who's seated at the right hand of God. You're looking at what you don't have in the flesh. Where there's no peace, you're not letting peace rule. You're letting lack and chaos rule. He says, for you've died and your life is hidden in Christ with God. See, when you died, when you gave your life to Christ, you crucified the flesh. You're not going to find your answers in the world anymore. Your life's not hidden in the world. Your life's not hidden in your bank account. Your life is hidden in Christ. It's kept in Christ, where moth and rust does not corrupt it. doesn't destroy it. I have a full supply in Christ everywhere I go, all the time that I go, not because of something in my hand, but because of my connection with Him. I might not have it in my hand yet, but I got it in Him. My life, the fullness of my life, it's in Him. It's in Him. It's in Him.
Yeah.
The fullness of my life, it's in Him.
Yeah.
See, when I get that revelation, I can be at joy even when I get corrected. I can be at peace and let peace rule because I'm not who I was. I'm not what I have. I am who I am because of Him.
Yeah.
And everything I need is in Him.
Yeah.
In Him we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
Not what's in the bank account. Not the set of keys that I have or don't have. Not the lack that I have in my life. That doesn't define me. What defines us? Who we are in Him. Our life that's hidden in Him. What's hidden in Him? What is it you have hidden in Him? Huh? Everything.
Amen.
You've already been granted everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Yeah.
And made a divine partaker, a divine partner of His divine nature. A holy partner, a spiritual partner of everything that He is. You're connected. Where is it at? In Him. In Him. Everything you need's already in Him. Every provision, every word, every supply, it's in Him already. You already got it. You're blessed. Ain't that one just bless your ministry? He's interested just in blessing you. Just you. Your ministry too. But He just loves you too. So set your mind on things above. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. The Lord said I would move slower today. Not preach so fast. Now I understand why He said that. He said, I want you to see this. Do you understand that when you allow a lack of joy or a lack of peace in your life, you're giving in to the passions of the flesh? You are yielding to the passions of what should be a crucified flesh. So you made Jesus Lord, but now you're reverting back your lordship to the corrupted flesh. So it says here, Verse 5, it says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, as dead to impurity, as dead to the worldly passions, as dead to evil desires and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Verse 6, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. This is not a small thing. And when you play around with these things and you play around with a lack of peace and not letting peace rule and you play around with condemnation, right? You're playing around with the very things that's going to bring wrath on non-believers. Should we play around with those things? Oh my goodness, no. We shouldn't even be near it. Do you realize when you hear word from the Lord and you hear wisdom from the Lord or even correction from the Lord and your response is, you're doing that very thing that is bringing wrath on unbelievers? But when you actually turn the air down, everybody's getting sleepy. And I'm talking slow, I'm not going to speed up. Turn it down a degree or two. Get the air kicking. Make them put on blankets. Keep them awake. Just imagine if y'all had some food in you right now. Y'all all be passed out. Do you have residual tryptophan from the turkey? Is it residual in your body today? These are the type of messages that most people in the church don't understand. They like the exciting ones, you know, the ones that tell you everything you have. They don't want to hear this message. This is why people follow evangelists but not pastors. They're like, I don't want to go to church. I just want to follow this evangelist around. Because evangelist has a certain role in the church. But see, people don't give themselves to discipline. They don't give themselves to it because they don't understand the value of it. They don't understand the diligence and the discipline, the discipling that they should have. They don't understand the value of it. Just like when I make that correction, everybody's like, oh yeah, that's great. Whereas if I just told everybody in here where to go get that box of $1 million worth of gold, this, I would have the happiest church in North Carolina. Yeah, they'd be gone finding those boxes. I would have the happiest church. You should be happy, more happy with the wisdom of God, more in joy. I should be able to see your beautiful smile. As it is now, I got to make a joke, and God's got to help me make jokes for me to see your smile. This should not. Now, I know I'm joking right now, but not really.
Yeah.
Not really. You should be happy.
Yeah.
You know what I found? That when the preacher preaches on something that I've already fixed, I'm really happy about it.
Yeah.
I don't mind him preaching that at all. when he preaches on something, like it's kind of like everybody in here has got tithes and offerings. That's why all the guests come in here and they're like, it's tithes and offering time. And everybody's like, woohoo! And all the guests are like, what is wrong with these people? But see, you have revelation on tithes and offerings, and you've already given in a right spirit, and you will give today in a right spirit. That's why you're happy about it.
Yeah.
See, if you were happy about correction, you'd be happy about it.
Yes.
Very pastoral message.
Woohoo!
Amen. That's the way it should be.
Yes.
Why? Because this will keep you from having to call me in the middle of the week.
Woohoo!
I got one amen. Because this will give you the victory in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
This week. And next week. And the week after.
Yeah.
And the week after that. How can you put a value on that?
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
See, we're not putting that kind of value on it.
Right.
And I know I'm taking some time. I know I'm stretching you. I'm not moving fast. We're actually still at really good time for us.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much wrapping up. But these are the type of messages people don't want.
Right.
The real issue is their flesh doesn't want it. And they're so fleshly minded that they'll leave a church over too many of these messages. That's why for a while the Lord had me preach these messages over and over and over and over. And the only people left were hungry and in unity.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Where will you be?
Thank you.
I'm okay to present you with a choice like that. I'm okay with that. I wasn't always, but I am now. Because I know that this is the decision you need to make. Because this is the decision that will lead you to victory. This is the decision that will keep you in victory. He says, because of these wrong things, that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Think about this. You ever heard a message and you got corrected in it and you knew it was right, but you just got angry?
Yeah.
Ever have a message like that? You know it's right, but you got angry? Barrett said the first 2 years of Boomerang. Well, what spirit would be causing you to get angry? Which one? So which one is your flesh wanting to agree with right now? You see, identifying these things is pretty important.
Yeah.
Because most people, they just leave church when they feel that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that, Pastor. He said something, and he was correct, and he took all day, and he was slow. And then he told him to turn that air and get us down and keep us all awake. I wonder which spirit was that. Not the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not drawing this out on purpose. I want us to get it. How many of you have ever listened to a message and you heard it the first day, you amened it, you basically had the same message preached over and over again, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time in a series, and then all of a sudden one of those days in that series you go, oh, I see it! Yeah. I got it! Yeah. I got it! Because you needed something repeated to you to get the full revelation that you needed for that moment. Actually, over the advance where we were planning out the new year, we were talking about the culture of Boomerang. And the number one thing that stood out in the culture was the series. They're like, when you taught this series, it changed our culture. When you taught this series, when you taught that series. In other words, it's not just calling it a series. What was actually being said was this. When you repeated a message again this way, and then again this way, and then you repeated it and said it this way, and then you said it this way, and I got it, that changed me. Because you gave yourself to that word that you thought you already knew, but you hadn't really, you might have agreed with it in your head, but it hadn't changed you fully yet. But when you had those series that repeated that same thing, this is what this one message is, a series saying the same thing over and over and over again, because as you give yourself to that discipline, you'll eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Are you giving yourself to the discipline, or is your flesh still fighting me and you're agreeing with it? What are you doing? So you got to get good at this.
Yeah.
You got to get over your flesh. And you got to find that place of joy. You got to find that place of peace in the middle of that message. Literally, you ought to be excited. You ought to have joy on your face. It ought to be easy for me to preach this message because y'all are so mature.
Yeah.
You're so mature, it's easy for me to preach this message. As it is, I'm having to plow. Because we're not as mature as what we thought a few minutes ago, are we? And I'm proving it because of how much I'm having to plow here. Let me just tell you, I'm the kind of preacher that if I find resistance, I'll plow that thing like 20 times. So it can go easy or it can go hard. Which one you want? Which one you want? Because I'm like, hey, that's a hard spot. Let's just go over it with the disses. Until we pulverize it into dust.
Yeah.
Let's turn this into from hard soil that can't receive the seed of the word into some fertile soil.
Yeah.
See, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And your little angry faces and irritated faces, they just make me want to go harder. I'm just that kind of guy. I get it. So you want it. You know, you see. Some people understand this mindset. Some people don't. They think it's aggressive. I see Jesus doing the same thing. He preached the same messages everywhere he went. But see, this is the kind of stuff that people have to learn how to receive it well. We need to be good receivers of every word of God. Is this the word of God I'm giving you?
Yes.
Is it the exciting one to your flesh? Nah. Nah. But it's still the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it's still a timely word from Boomerang.
Yeah.
It is. Because He's wanting to take you some places. You can't go if you're not a good receiver of His shifts and His corrections and His discipline. And you know what a good receiver looks like? Preach it, Pastor Brian. Preach it. Other people might not like you if you responded right. They don't like me if I preach it right. They're not going to like you if you receive it right.
Yes.
I'm not going to let somebody else's thoughts and the fear of man get in the way of my blessing. Yes. I know there's a value beyond silver and gold and jewels. I'm grabbing a hold of it because I'm blessed.
Yes.
And I have the ability within my spirit man to grab a hold of the Word of God, let it change me, and go from this chaos life to a life of peace and a life of joy. And I won't be held back.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's like, that's our moment. Everybody yell quickly. Amen. He says, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Put on the new self. The new self is full of peace. The new self is full of joy. The new self is full of peace. Amen. Blankets came out. We're getting there. Amen. New self, full of peace, full of joy. New self, full of peace, full of joy. Full of peace, full of joy. Full of peace, full of joy. New self, full of peace, full of joy. You can just, you know, you could even confess right now. I'm full of peace. I'm full of joy. Even if it doesn't seem like it. Even if it doesn't feel it. Because you're being biblical. I'm full of peace.
I'm full of joy.
Even if you're not there yet, at least point the rudder of the ship of your life in that direction. I'm full of peace. I'm full of joy. Amen. You're starting to look like it. We're getting there. Yeah. Watch this. Now think about this. How many of you grew up in a world of division? How many of us grew up in a world of division? Every single one of us. You can't do that because you're a woman. You can't do that because you're black. You can't have that because you're white. You can't do that because you're Asian. You can't do that because of this. You can't do that because you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, came from the wrong state, grew up in the wrong city, blah, 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 blah. Listen, that is not what the Word of God says. Watch what it says right here. He says, and you have a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew. There's no distinction between your ethnicity.
Yeah.
There's no distinction between circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free man. In other words, but Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, is all and in all. That means every person that's in Christ, you have all those things in him. And if you will put on him, you can walk like him, you can talk like him, you can act like him. But you got to decide who you're going to be and put to death the deeds of the flesh. Stop letting your feelings tell you who you are and set your eyes above on Christ, seated at the right hand of authority, seated at the right hand of power, seated at the right hand of God, and what all is there. You want to walk in that? You got to set your eyes there and stop setting your eyes on your feelings. Stop setting your eyes on your thinking. Got to get in joy. Let the peace rule.
Yes.
Let the peace rule. He said, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Now think about this. When you're getting corrected, do you feel kind towards the one bringing the message in your flesh? No. This is what he's telling you. You're going to have to switch that. You're going to have to change that. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, do you feel kind and gentle towards that person? When they ride 10 miles under the speed limit in the left lane, do you feel gentle towards that person? My spirit does. My flesh, I'm worried. See, we got to put that stuff aside. We got to put that stuff aside. I'm not saying we don't correct them. I'm just saying you got to stay at peace. He says, bearing with one another. Did I get better as a pastor over the years?
You were always great.
Amen. You are. That's a great confession, and I appreciate it.
Yes.
I got better over the years,
yes.
Which means I was not as good in the first few years. You are getting quicker on this stuff. No, I wasn't. I wasn't as good. I should be getting better all the time. I should be growing in that way. But during that period of time, you didn't run away. You were bearing with me. Even though I was an authority and maybe more right than you were, still, looking back on that now, wasn't it good for you to bear with me even if I didn't know what I was doing?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it right for you to bear with other people even if they don't fully know what they're doing yet? My goodness, if parents didn't do that, none of us would be alive. They bore with us. One time, Rachel had, we'll use Luke since Rachel's sitting here. And so, you know, it's like Luke's, you know, he gets a cavity. And Nicole's like, why is he getting the cavity? I've told him to brush his teeth. I'm like, does he know how to brush his teeth? Well, I've told him. How many times? Like, he didn't just come out of the womb like, I know how to brush my teeth. He didn't know all that. You got to bear with him. You got to teach him. All right, up and down. From all the way, the last tooth on the left, all the way around to the last tooth on the right, on the top, on the inside. You got to teach them up and down, back and forth, so that you get every angle. You bear with them. You teach them those things. You go over it. And it's like, how many times do you have to do it? How many times does it take?
Yeah.
How many times did Jesus ask you to forgive somebody in a day? To bear with them. How many times did he ask you to bear with somebody in a day? Forgive them. 70 times 7. 490 times in a day? I don't have enough time for that. Yet he told us that's what you should do. Just ask Momo. She's bearing with me for years now. Y'all pray for her. She needs help. She didn't know what she was getting into. One time while Nicole and I were dating, we broke up for like a week. I did it. It was me. I thought it was the best thing. She cried. You know how many times she's repented over that now? She cried. She was so sad that we broke up. Y'all pray for her. Bear with one another. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Watch this. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. How many people you want your life blessed beyond measure? I mean, so much that you don't know how to define it. In Psalm 133, it says what? It says, in unity, it's where God commands the blessing. In other words, God blesses and you can't stop it. God blesses and you can't stop it. In unity. But he says the perfect bond of unity is love. Forgiving one another, bearing one another, put on love towards each other. So how many people want the blessing beyond measure? And it's found in unity. Then how are you going to get to unity? You're going to have to love each other.
Amen.
Even when you irritate the mess out of each other.
Amen.
You're going to have to love on each other. Let's just all come together and hug right now. I'm kidding. I don't like that. Which surprises some people. They're like, do you hug everybody? I'm like, I know. I don't like group hugs. Group hugs, yeah, I don't like that. I don't mind a hug. Here's something I don't like. I don't like holding hands in prayer. Every time a preacher goes, let's just stand up and hold hands now. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm not scared of germs. I guess because I'm tall, it hurts my arms differently because everybody else is down there. So I don't know. I just don't like it. So if you ever hear me say, everybody hold hands and pray, you know the Lord said that. Yeah. Every time a preacher says, everybody hold hands and pray, that's me forgiving one another and being in love. It's true. I'm just sharing. But what I'm saying is this. I'm not just telling stories on me. I'm just saying, you're going to find stuff that crosses you. Your job is not to meditate on what crosses you. Your job is to forgive one another and keep the peace. Let the peace rule. Which means putting on love. Forgiving one another. How many of y'all were born in a different environment and different atmosphere than your neighbor? All of us. So you were raised with different things. You had different thoughts. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. Some of the things that I brought into our household were good. Some of them were bad. Some of the things Nicole brought were good, and some of them were bad. Everybody that comes into this household of faith, some of things are good, some are bad. But regardless of if they're good or bad, you're used to it one way. You're used to it one way. But then somebody else does it different. Well, I don't like that. I don't think that's the right way. What does the Lord say? What does the book say? Forgive one another. Put on the perfect bond of unity. Love. Love them. Regardless of if you like it or not, love them. Love them. Well, my family was rough. They are sarcastic. They're always picking around. They're picking on each other. They're joking. My family never did any of that. We were just really nice to everybody. Those two atmospheres are going to clash. So what should the person with the sarcastic family do? Be a little nicer. And what should the person do that never did any of that? Maybe open up your mind. There might be something there that you like. But regardless, forgive one another and put on love. Well, I believe in direct communication. Somebody else doesn't believe in direct communication at all. And they grate on each other. Get over it. Get over it. Put on the perfect bond of love. Well, I've never seen a church do it like this. I've never seen a pastor that just keeps on walking and preaching until he feels like he's done. That is not what I'm doing. I'm seeking the Spirit and flowing with the Spirit, and we're dealing with some stuff. We started plowing up the ground. I felt resistance. I felt roots of ungodliness. And my job is to break them and get them out of your ground so that you can receive the fruit of the Word of God. That's a real minister. Love. Forgive. Amen. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. 15. Let the peace of God rule. Let it. In other words, it'll rule if you'll get out of the way. Let it. Get out of the way. Yield to the peace. Hear that. Close your eyes right now. Yield to the peace of God. Yield to the peace of God. Whew. Yield to the peace of God. Lord, I don't fight against things that don't go my way. I don't fight against correction. I don't fight against discipline. I don't fight against a service that's going slow and long. I don't fight against any of that. I yield and let the peace of God rule in my hearts. In our hearts. To which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Listen to this whole verse. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which, the peace of God ruling in your heart, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. Thank you, Lord, you called me here. to a place that challenges the chaos between relationships. Thank you, Lord. Isn't this a command from the Lord? Hear it again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which that peace, indeed, you were called into one body by context into unity. In other words, in the body to which you were called, you're going to be challenged in your unity, and sometimes with the pastor and the preacher himself. You're going to be challenged in it. And when you face that challenge, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule. Let it get out of the way and let the peace of God do what the peace of God does. Stop fighting God's peace. And while you're at it, be thankful about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Let the peace of God rule, to which you were called into one unified body. Do you see how the devil is going to challenge you? And I know, and I understand it, and I get it. Almost everybody here was challenged to stay in Boomerang, to let me be their pastor, because I challenge you in messages like this. And this is where the devil will challenge your flesh to stay. I'm looking for the people who are hungry enough to do that, that want that. Lord, I see the value. And even though my flesh is challenged, oh, I'm going to let the peace of God rule. Because those people will move into unity and God will command the blessing on that body. So what I'm actually doing is, through the Lord and through the leading of the Lord, is getting us to the place where God can bless every single one of us. And the ones that will stick and give themselves to the ways of God will be blessed by it. So this is the type of message that literally opens up the whole blessing. And even people that are connected. Sir Roderick may not know this fully, but when I preach that message about blessed to be blessed, because he's a part of this body, be it indirectly, but he's still a part of it. He receives the blessing and the grace that's on this body.
Yeah.
Because he comes here and he sows on a regular basis and he comes and receives on it. He started being blessed even though he wasn't here to receive that message because of connection. And it wasn't just me. We're not the only one that he's connected to. It's not just that, but it played a part in it. It played a part in it. This is the thing, and this is what people don't see. It's like, oh, I got to sit through this message and just like listen to Pastor Brian ramble. You really misunderstand what's going on here. You really are misunderstanding what's happening. What's happening here is God's opening up a door of opportunity for you to submit your flesh. What was the offering message earlier? What was the offering message? All in. We were good while we understood it until Pastor started talking about letting the peace rule and stretching out and started cutting us with the word. We were all in till then. Now, watch. We said we got excited because we recognized that when God asked us for something, it was an opportunity. He's asking you for something now, it's just not monetary. He's asking you to let the peace rule so that unity can come, so that this whole body can be blessed. So he's presenting with you an opportunity right now to be in joy and not condemnation, to be in peace and not chaos and offense. He's presenting you an opportunity to be planted in a body that's doing a real spiritual work. Why? So that unity can come and the whole body be blessed. So you're sowing right now, you just don't realize you're sowing, or at least you have opportunity to sow. Because if you choose to let the peace and rule and don't fight it. Don't fight the correction of God because it's taking you to something that's more valuable than gold and silver and jewels. Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
Are you seeing it? Let the peace of God rule, peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now watch this. Teaching, what am I doing today? And admonishing, what am I doing today? Admonishing. I'm biblical. Most churches that grow too big, they can't take this. They won't take this. Now, I'm not comfortable there. He preached too long. He talked about stuff I didn't want. I got angry. And they won't take this, and they will stay at a kindergarten level of spirituality. You want to stay at a kindergarten level? What's going to happen when you get up to heaven? Well, I sent you to a church that would grow you, but you were uncomfortable. And you got angry when he preached and corrected you. You thought he was rambling when he was actually handling spiritual business. Do you think in front of Jesus, well, I didn't like what he preached and I was uncomfortable. You think that's going to pass in front of him, in front of the throne room where everything's laid bare? Now, I'll be accountable for how long I preach and what I preach, stuff like that, but you're supposed to bear with me in that way, just like I bear with you when you don't listen to the messages. You're supposed to enjoy that comment as a pastor. I know you did. But you understand. We're supposed to bear with one another. But this is the thing. When we get up in front of Jesus and he said, listen, I had great plans for you and a great destiny, but you ditched it. Why did you ditch my plan? Well, I was just uncomfortable and I didn't. He preached too long. It's not going to work. It's not going to pass. How proudful for us to think that that's okay with God. He's like, he would say, did you not see it in my word where they preached for 3 hours and they preached and they kept on going? They were actively preaching. Ananias died. They took him out and buried him. 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in. They're still preaching. They take her out and they're still preaching. Did you not see where they preached to midnight? Dude fell out of the window. That didn't even stop them. They kept preaching until the dawn. He was preaching too long. What's the matter with you? What do you think this is? A democracy? This is a theocracy. There's a king on the throne and your little feelings isn't him. You see, this isn't going to pass in front of that throne. You're going to come up in front of the throne and you're going to melt. And all this pride that we've had, thinking that we got our, how dare they be loud and how dare they go on past whatever and blah, blah, blah. Like, what's wrong with you? Who taught you this? Y'all are good. You're good. But I understand we face these moments every now and then. It's good to get renewed on. But it's also, you need to know why you are this way and why this church is this way. Because if you don't know why you're this way and you don't know why this church is this way, then somebody's going to be like, well, I would go there, but they just go too long. You'll think, well, yeah, they got a point there. And now that wind of thinking and that wind of doctrine will get you out of your place. And you'll come up front and Jesus say, I planted you. Why didn't you stay there? Your destiny was there. It was there to help you. Well, my friend said it went too long. I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. That is probably right. That's not a good marketing tool. It's not a very good church. It's like, what are you listening to your friend for? He's thinking completely soulishly and worldly. What's the matter with you? Is your friend your Lord and his thinking from a worldly, soulless perspective? You don't have enough discernment to discern that's soulish and worldly? You see, things have gotten jacked up. And it's time to unjack them. And we do that by the Word. And the teaching and the admonishing. And why would God preach a message like this to such a great church as you are? Because you are a great church. Why would he preach this message? Because there's more. Because there's more in him. He's taken us to more. This is where you've been and what you've seen so far. It's not enough. It's not high enough. There's more in him. There's more in him. Don't you know there's more in him? Don't you know that we've not touched God's normal yet? We've not jumped in the deep end of God's normal yet. We just jumped in. We've dipped our toe in. We're not in yet. We're not immersed in His normal. We're not immersed in His fullness yet. We're not immersed in what's in His name, what's in Christ. We're not immersed in what's fully in His kingdom. God's saying, I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Lord, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
My flesh didn't like the message or the time we spent today, but God, you've done great things. And even in the message, I heard what I needed to hear. Thank you for a place like that. Thank you for a real church. And watch this. He wraps up verse 17 here. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do, give thanks. Sound familiar? Whatever you do, give thanks. Whatever you do. There's not enough thankful people. You know why people get angry and upset? They're not thankful.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Eternity of hell, eternity of heaven. Why should you ever not be thankful? Just that alone. Man, thank you, God. Like, listen, if He puts you in the worst church on the earth for the whole time you lived here, 120 years, and it was the worst, you should still be thankful.
Yeah.
If you were in the worst, you should still be thankful. Always with thanksgiving. And when we do it, we let the peace of God rule.